So this morning, our practitioner of the day is Lee Huffman, who's going to come and share with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this says reading and affirmative prayer. And this week, I had trouble with a reading. I walk up here with three books, and there's nothing that I can think of to read in them because there's so much that is coming at me. And so this morning, I think I want to talk about awareness and how the universe speaks to us. I know that Bob's going to talk about work today, and I'm not going to go down that path because my work is the work of other people, so I can go down there quite a bit. But talk about the work of the universe. So as an exercise, let's just take a moment, and everybody just close your eyes. Take a deep breath and be silent for a moment. Just listen to the silence and the quietness around us. Someone said to me there was such a loud silence around us today. And there are different ways that the universe speaks to us. So you can open your eyes and understand that there is a presence with us right now. That presence is so with us that we can't even separate us from it. And those of you that have been going here a while know that that's because that presence, that God, that source, the thing itself, as other people call it, is really what's here because it created us. Therefore, there's no separation between us. And if there's no separation between myself and God, and there's no separation between you and God, then that means there's no separation between you and the person sitting beside you. There's no separation between you and me. How does the universe speak to you through the traffic? How does the universe speak to you through your children? How does the universe speak to you through your work, as Bob's going to talk about shortly? How aware are we about the messages that the world, the universe, the creator, that which put us here to make our own decisions, created for us? How aware are we of it communicating to us? So as you go out the next week, think about, even if it's just today, but try and do it as much as you can this week. Think about, what is the universe communicating to me, and what is it saying to me? And what should I be hearing, and how am I aware of all that is coming through? And all the readings that just kept coming through to me this week, looking and saying, are you aware that the creator of the universe wants to speak to you? Not only to you, but through you to others. And through the trees, through the animals, through the world around us. But while it's not a reading, it's a thought that is speaking to me more and more each day. So if we would, let's close our eyes again, let's relax, take everything off, and prepare for a treatment, which is, for those of you that are new here, that's an affirmative prayer that speaks the truth about our lives. So take a deep breath and relax, and enjoy the music as we come together. And know this with me. I will speak this in the first person, and I will know it for myself, and you can pick any part of it that you would like for you. I know that there is one universal creator of everything around us. Everything around me was breathed out of the breath of God. It came by God speaking and creating out of its words and out of itself. So I know that I am part of God because I was a breath of God. I know that to the point that I define and my desires and my understanding, that the universe will speak to me on how to get there. That the path will be made clear. I know that as I go through the week, I will see more and more different ways for the universe to speak to me. Through the children, through the air, even through the news, about what truth is. And as I listen, and I ask, and I say, this is what I desire, then the pathway will be made clear to me. If I desire health, the pathway to health will come. If I desire abundance, that will come to me as well. I will just be aware and listen to what the universe has to say. I know that there are lots of words that will be spoken that will not be the divine truth of the universe, but those will show me the true way. I know that the peace is here in my heart and in my soul. If I will look and listen, I will see it. So I open myself up to the speaking of the universe. And I am aware with each message that is sent to me what will make the life of myself and those around me even better. This week will be a great week where I will see God in motion. I know this to be true. And together we say, and so it is.
Can you feel the love tonight? Today, right now. That's a good thing. Where'd he go? Back there. Thank you, Lee. I needed that this morning. It was nice to have a moment to sit back and realize that whatever the communication's coming to us in whatever language and whatever form, it is in a way the Spirit speaking to us, guiding us, offering us ideas, leading us if we are open to hear and see and follow. So, if you're one of those people who fully gets it, that there is one power in the universe, and that's all there is, that power is everything and all everywhere, that the contemporary language philosophers use for it is consciousness. The older language the philosophers used for it was the absolute or reality. If you get it that the scientists call this a universal uniform field in which we all live, move, and have our being. If you really get it and know that you know that that's all there is, that's the whole true picture of reality, and therefore that you are part of it, you are an expression of it, not separate in any way, but in the center of it, and it is alive and living in you and through you and as you, so that the true you is the you of consciousness, the you of wholeness, the you of completeness, the you that is fully, fully integrated and one with and experiencing the oneness of that great power. If you've got that and you know it, and you know that you know it, and you know that you know it about every area and aspect of your life, then you can go to brunch. Or you can come up here and help me. See, that's kind of our goal in this teaching and in our practices of coming together regularly, is to remind ourselves, to get to that place in consciousness, and then remind ourselves again and again and again of who we truly are. One of my friends back in Philadelphia calls me the post-it note. He says, you don't really teach anything new. You just stick post-it notes up to remind us all of what we already knew. And I'm fine with that. I'm happy to be yellow. Because we do. If we are truly one with that one power, then this knowledge and awareness is available to us already all the time. However, if you're like me and you need reminding, and you need to be looking at all the places where we have allowed that consciousness within us to be overlaid and filtered through a lot of other crazy ideas, then this is the place to be. And this is the time to be. It is an opportunity to come together and look at what are the ways that we have clouded the truth of who we are with our other beliefs, with those things we've been taught from the world, those things we've been taught from our families, those things we just absorbed by living in the current time and space that we're in, and being able to then to find tools and ways to clear them out, to move them aside. See, and one of the places where I think right now in our world there's a great deal of nonsense floating around, and we all get caught up in it, has to do with our work. The title of today's talk is Work is Not a Four-Letter Word. It's often used that way. Yeah, I got to go to work. If you had to work where I work, we use that word all the time as if it's something terrible and negative, and for many people that is the experience, no question about it. Many people hate their jobs. Can you imagine that? Not anybody here, of course, but there are people who do, and yet they spend most of their waking hours doing something they hate. Ouch. We have this rich gift of life, this rich gift of option and possibility that we were given at birth, and that we just get to play with and do whatever we want with it. And yet for so many people, we have this nonsense that says, I have to stay in a job I hate for 1,000 different reasons. Maybe it was the job your family assigned to you as you were growing up. You'll be a lawyer, whether you want to or not. Or you'll be a doctor, whether you want to or not. Or you'll move up the ranks. I got in a lot of trouble over the years in working in mental health fields and in other areas as a chaplain and as a minister, because they always wanted to move me out of direct contact with people into administration and management. And I didn't want to do that. I wasn't called to that. I finally succumbed and said, yes, I am called to that, and I was, for 4 years with our organization, and then I got really clear. No. That's great. I'm glad I was there. I was able to do what I went there to do, and then I was done, because that's not joy for me, pushing paper and telling other people how to do what I want to do. Uh-uh. I wanted to be in the trenches talking to people and knowing people, and that's why I go to one of the many reasons I go to teen camp every year, which is where I've been the last 2 weeks, or 2 Sundays, 1 week, with one of the most amazing young people on the planet, Q, who you probably know or know of, who is part of our center and is just continues to wow me with his consciousness and his awareness, along with 350 other of my closest friends who are young and are alive and are experimenting with life and are looking at it through the things that we teach. I think what my life would be if I had known that then. Still done pretty well, but would have been more. So the idea here, or what I'm trying to say, is that we have all this opportunity, and yet we find ourselves stuck in things we hate. Sometimes you're overwhelmed by your job. You love your job, but you're overwhelmed by it. It's just too much. And we don't sleep well. We have all those other things. Or some people are actually talk about being chained to a desk. You ever said that? Hopefully not, but maybe. Or felt that. Always looked for that. Wonder what it was. Another really favorite one for job nonsense is hating your boss. They're so easy to hate sometimes, you know? Just because they're the boss, right? Because if we don't want to take responsibility for ourselves, a great place to put that is on whoever's above us. We start by blaming our mothers for everything in psychology, you know. And then from our mothers, it moves to our bosses and to whatever whatever other authority figures may be in people's lives that they want to put the blame on. It's not me. If my boss would just treat me better, I'd like this job. Well, I worked with a client a few years ago who hated her boss. Wanted to be in her job, it was in the right job for her, but she was not at all happy, and she hated going to work because she hated her boss. So we started a practice. Every morning when you get there, you're going to sit down at your desk, you're going to take out a piece of paper. It was a school, so she was a vice principal. And you're going to write down 100 times, just like I had to do in the fourth grade. Do not, only for me, it was don't talk in the room. For her, it was I love my boss, and this is why. And so she had to come up with 100 things every day as to why she loved him and what she could find lovable about him. Within 3 months, the boss left. She was promoted to his position. Yeah. But before that happened, her whole attitude about him had changed, because the issue wasn't him. The issue was her and how she thought and what she felt and where she was. See, I think everyone is longing for a greater sense of meaning and a greater sense of freedom and a desire to spend most of our waking hours pursuing that. And there's a way to do that through our work, but it requires getting a better idea of it. Oh, hey, Q, you're here. I didn't see you back there. Good. I know we aren't supposed to do shout-outs. We're being recorded. I've been at teen camp. What can I say? See, your job, your work is your opportunity to bring your greatest gifts to the world. It's the opportunity that life has given you to take who you are and say, here it is. Now give me something back for it. It's valuable. I know it's valuable. I know who I am is valuable. And you can take anything you like and love and turn it into money. You know, there was a book out. Everyone heard the quote 1,000 times. Do what you love, the money will follow. Well, that's the title of the book. There are a whole lot of chapters in that book about how to make that happen, including get off of your whatever and get to work on the things you love instead of on the things you don't. It gets going with the idea of putting your energy and attention into what you love about whatever you're doing. If it's as simple as it gives me a chance to sit down all day, if that's the best you're going to come up with for what you could love about your current job, start there. Start there. Create. I'm going to pick on you since you're here. Sorry, Q. You love animals and snakes and lizards and stuff? I don't. You create a business out of it. You take them around to birthday parties and malls and other places, and people pay you to bring these things for them to touch and pet and play with. You can create a business out of that. Q's done it already. We had pet rocks, for goodness sakes. I don't know who came up with that one, but they got really rich. You know, you don't have to walk them. You don't have to clean up after them. They're great. If you want a pet, you have a pet rock. I have a house full of pet rocks. Yeah. So what it is, it's about getting a better idea and finding what you love and finding a way then to share it and give it to the world. That means you got to get clear about who you are and what you want and what you're about. And I'm not talking about deciding I'm going to be this job or that job or that job. You are not your job. You're not defined by your job. You're not defined by what you've done. You're not defined by your family. You are not any of those things. You are a spiritual being creating and bringing forth on the planet something new that's never happened or been experienced before. That's who and what you are. And then you figure out what you want to give, what's yours to do, and how you want to live. And then the job will come to you that allows you to fulfill that, or the business, or the work, or the opportunity, whatever that is. It requires not only treating and knowing and getting clear, but it also requires getting up and doing something. When you get those nudges that he talked about where the universe says, okay, you want this, here's the direction. Why don't you turn this corner and go in that restaurant and boom, you run into somebody that's got what you were looking for. It's pretty amazing how that can work. Get clear what is yours to give to life and that what you love and brings you joy. I heard a talk similar to this from Kennedy Schultz years ago, and I was sitting with my partner, and One of the things Kennedy said is, if you absolutely hate your job and you cannot find any way to find anything good from it, go home, go there tomorrow and quit. My partner elbowed me, don't you dare. Because I was right there. I didn't. The next day, I did a week later. Because I really knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be doing a similar thing to what I was doing, but not for the state of Georgia, but for my own practice. The rules all say, if you're starting a practice in, as a therapist or a counselor, you need a year of income to cover you while you build that practice. I quit. A week later, gave my notice. 30 days later, I was out on my own. 30 days later, I had a full practice paying everything. Now, was I special? No. I just happened to understand these principles and how to use them. And I listened when there was something nudging me in a certain direction. I knew what I absolutely loved to do and how I wanted to do it and where I wanted to show up. And I knew there were people in the world needing what I had to offer and wanting what I had to offer and willing to pay for what I had to offer. And they showed up. And offices opened up. And spaces for me to work showed up. And people came after me and said, would you come do a workshop for us this weekend at this treatment center or that place or this thing or that thing? Now, did I go through some nail biting and gnashing? Yeah. I had some nervousness about it. But a deep down part of me knew I was okay and always would be and always have been. Always will be. Because I knew what I had to give and I knew there were people who wanted it and I knew that I could find joy in doing it. And that I didn't have to be a slave anymore to this crazy idea that I had to stay put just because I'd been there for a long time. And just because I, quote, needed the paycheck. That's the other thing. Your prosperity and your creative expression, your job, are not connected. Now, our universe, our world teaches us that they are. And the practicality is most of us get our income from what we're doing as a job. But it doesn't have to be. It's a connection we've created in consciousness because prosperity can come from all kinds of ways and places that have nothing to do with what we're doing for a living. And I'm not talking about winning the lottery. There are lots of other ways that prosperity could come to you that you don't even know about yet. Because if you knew about it, it would be yours already, right? And some of you do know because you're living that life already. However, in the meantime, for those of us who are in jobs, and those of us who have jobs that we are perhaps somewhat loving and somewhat not, in the between time, here's some ideas that might help you move from there into that place you love into that truly work that is creative expression and not a four-letter word. And this is one of them. You're always self-employed. I don't care who you're working for. What job slot you're in, you are self-employed. It is up to you to bring whatever you bring to that job. Nobody else can do it for you, not your boss, not your helpers, no one else. You are self-employed because you bring yourself to it, and then you create your experience of that job. The other thing that goes along with that is no one else can do your job. I left the position out in Denver. I'm leaving it. It's not quite gone yet, but we're getting there. Three people are replacing me. None of those three will have my job. They will be doing their jobs in place of the job I was doing. Because my job was my job. It was mine, and no one else could bring the individuality, the character to it that I could. And it doesn't matter how rigid the job description or how simple it might appear. You are the one that brings the quality, the character, and the goodness to that position. You know, you can be the best doorman in the world. You can be the best salesperson in the world. You can choose to bring your own character and quality to whatever is there that might look like something anyone else can do. But no one else can do your part. Because if you know what you love, I mean, one of the things I know I absolutely love doing is talking to people and hearing their stories and connecting and getting involved and just kind of how do we connect? What do we share? What do we have in common? That's one of my favorite things. Years ago, I took a sabbatical and was wandering around the country following the front of my car and figuring out where to go the next day and camping and all this kind of stuff. And I ran out of money without having to mess with some accounts I didn't want to mess with. So I happened to be at the Grand Canyon, and I got a camping permit, and that was the last thing my card would let me do. So I thought, well, I don't have gas to get to the next town. What am I going to do? And I decided that there must be something at the Grand Canyon I could do. So I took my long resume and degrees and all that in, and they laughed and said, well, you know, we got PhDs cleaning toilets here just for the opportunity to be at the Grand Canyon. And I'm like, okay, I don't do that, but I'd rather not, but I will. They said, well, you know, your personality says that you would make a great front manager for the restaurant. I never worked in a restaurant in my life. I said, sure, what do I do? Well, mostly you stand at the front desk and you keep people happy long enough that they don't go off and leave before their turn in line gets them in to have a meal. Because we're one of the best steakhouses in the state of Arizona, and we don't take reservations, and the wait can be 2 to 3 hours at times. So your job is to keep them happy and keep things moving into the restaurant. I thought, hot dog, I can do that. And I did. And I had a great time. I talked to people. I listened to their stories. I told them stories. I made long lists of the craziest things that tourists ever say, like, did that shark fish tonight come out of the Colorado River? And when do they turn the lights on in the canyon? Because you can't, you know. Anyway, they're on, but you can't see it. It's too far away. All of those kinds of crazy things that we did and had fun, and we had the best year that restaurant had ever had. And most people staying, the cooks hated me because people didn't give up and leave, so we didn't get to leave when it was time to close because we still had a line. And it was because I did the thing I loved. Now, if I had said, oh yeah, I'm going to be a host at a restaurant, you know, I could make all kinds of negative things out of that if I wanted to. Especially, I went to school all these years, why would I do that, blah, 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 blah. I have a free ride at the Grand Canyon now anytime I go because of that. I've been well paid for it. I've gotten a lot back, and I had a great time for about 4 months there doing that. I left when they tried to move me to management and get me out of the front line with the people because I didn't want to do that. You see, are you getting what I'm trying? I'm not trying to brag about Bob. What I'm trying to do is say, you find the thing you love to do and bring it to whatever job you're doing now. You don't wait until you get that certain thing, whether it's your high school, whether it's your retirement. What are the things you love to do? Maybe the same things you loved to do when you were working and now you're retired. You can still find ways to do those same things you love. You need to. It's good for you. If you feel you're stuck, start celebrating the things you can find good about the work you're doing. Find the things you love. Make a list at the end of your workday before you leave of all the things that happened today that you did well and that you enjoyed doing, even if it's as simple as gossiping at the water fountain or the water cooler. You know, be your best. Go the extra mile. Show up early. Stay late. Get things done. And then you will either be lifted out of that position into something greater, or it'll all change to match who you are, the new you, as you show up. See, again, you're God's opportunity, Spirit's opportunity to give something through you, in you, as you. Overwhelm is a big one these days. I hardly talk to anyone, myself included at times, that says, I'm just so overwhelmed. There's so much coming at us. We have more data coming at us now than ever before, and it sometimes feels unmanageable, and it sometimes feels like it's just more than we can do. What I know about my overwhelm, I only feel overwhelmed when I'm trying to please other people. That old codependency thing that I thought I cured about 30 years ago, which just has not yet, still shows up, where I think that I have to, for me to be okay, I've got to do everything they want. You know, the real crazy part about that is if they're not telling me, I'll go try to find out. I know I'm the only one. That's why y'all are chuckling. The overwhelm comes from that. When I get centered and clear and listen to the voices within me about what is really mine to do and what isn't. So people may get irritated with me that I don't do what isn't mine to do. But that doesn't last long. It's because what happens is I become so clear and so happy, joyful about what I am doing, that they don't miss the other stuff. they don't notice as much because they see the good that's coming forth from what is happening. And what I am doing has greater quality to it than all that long list of things that I thought I should do that really aren't mine to do, and someone else will do them much better, most likely. See, and I think the same thing is true whether we're still in a job or we're retired. Retirement is retreadment, as far as I'm concerned. Most of the people I know who've retired haven't. They say they don't ever know how they ever had time to work, because it's just they stay rich and busy. Those that don't kind of fade out pretty quickly. It's been my experience as well. I had a dear aunt who hated housekeeping and she was a housewife her whole life. That's all she did. She never worked outside the home. She cooked. She cleaned. She was amazing. All of the picture you would see in the 1950s TV about what a great housewife should be. She was a little old-fashioned because she insisted on keeping her wood stove when she got the gas stove, but she liked cooking on the wood stove, and she kept that and did a lot of that stuff. And when she retired, finally, we asked her what she was going to do now that she had all this time. And she's like, well, I'm not doing any more housework. So she sold her dishes. She sold her stove. She sold everything she had that had to do with cooking. She moved into a small apartment in town. She sat on her front porch and talked to people when they went by. That was her retirement. She had a grand time for about 15 years doing that. When she was hungry, she went to a restaurant. She ate off paper plates, which she ate at home. She never did another lick of housework, as she put it. Her retirement was to sit and swing her leg, and she did. She sat and swung her leg on the front porch and had a rich, wonderful time because she knew what she wanted to bring to it, and she brought it to it. And she had when she died, there were hundreds of people at her funeral. Most of them knew her from the front porch, from those stop-by conversations where she brought love, she brought goodness, she brought a cheerful word or a bad joke or something to their lives when they would stop by. See, it's in all of us. We can find a way to create that good. It's simply listening and then trusting that what you really want is what's good for life. Emerson says, real genius is knowing that your desires are the desires of humankind. Your desires are good for everyone. So if there's something you love to do and want to do and express it, you can bet somebody else out there does too. Someone out there can share that with you. Someone out there is ready to pay you for it, to take you forward. One last thing, I'll leave you with this. This is a quote from Ernest Holmes from his 365 Days of Treatments, a great little book. On June 12th, he says this: success does not mean the accumulation of wealth, the maintenance of position, nor a supremacy of power. Success means a life free of the burden of anxiety and liberated from the thrallment of fear. There is no successful life without peace or without that inner spiritual certainty that knows that the soul is the pathway to good. The self, that inner self, is the pathway to good, forever expanding in conscious union with the infinite. That's what you're about. That's who you are. You have the most amazing, powerful, loving, infinite available to you to bring the good to your life that you desire. It's opening up. It's paying attention to how it speaks as you in order to bring that into life. You deserve that because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so let's know this together. Let's move from our listening heads to our hearts. As we open to the idea that I am indeed a creative being, that the spirit within me moves through me, creating life, creating good, creating power as me. I don't need to go get it. I don't need to grab it. I don't need to accumulate it. It's already present in me as me. My consciousness is a consciousness of freedom, a consciousness of peace, a consciousness of giving, a consciousness of creativity. And within that, I have the backing of the whole universe, pulling the how-tos and the what-fors and the structures together to allow the full, free expression of those desires, of those urges of that awareness of the good that I am and can bring to the world. My creativity is rewarded well because it is valuable in and of itself, and that value flows and circulates in me, as me, through me, and comes back to me multiplied. In that awareness, I can release this treatment now, knowing that my work is my creative expression. It is a four-letter word. The word is love. And I live it, I love it, I let it be, and so it is. Thank you. And let's now share together, if we will, in our contribution time. The thing I forgot to say earlier is if you have the first two parts of this, that God is all there is and you're it, and you go to brunch, just leave a check on the table on your way out. Because the opportunity for other people to learn that is right here. So whether you feel like you're giving out of that love of the value you receive, or you're giving out of the desire to see this teaching available to Midtown Atlanta and the whole world, then I gratefully accept that giving. I gratefully, on behalf of this center, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are an amazing community bringing a great truth right here in a great way. And I appreciate all of your support and all of your help in that.